Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your hostess, Susan Zenit. And first up this morning is Monday Morning Focus. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, this week, alhamdulillah, Radio Islam will be focusing on great female personalities. It is Women's Month. August is Women's Month, and the main discussions are normally on the drive time slots, but today inshallah I will be touching on just four great women in Islam. These they are such great women for us to emulate as our own models, alhamdulillah, and instead of looking for other people or other role models, we should try to study the lives of these great people, these great ladies, these great women in Islam, try to emulate their lives. They are actually great examples for us to follow, inshallah. Well, that will be followed by our drug talk, inshallah, with Sister Nazia Saliji, our outreach program coordinator from the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. We also have Sister Shaida Kaji, who is the director of the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center. And with us in the studio today is also somebody from the Nishtara Rehab Center as well, Sister Samira, who is a social worker in the outpatient department, inshallah. So we have a nice full studio here with us, and we're going to be talking about the definition of drugs first, and also we're going to look at the different categories of drugs. But what we also want to talk today is overdose of prescription and over-the-counter medication. Now, this week or this month is overdose day, and of course they will be telling us more about this as we go along in the program. But for now, the Monday Morning Focus, and we're going to be looking at four great women in Islam, inshallah. Anas radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, from among the women of the world who have reached perfection and who are worthy of following or emulating are the following four: Maryam, the daughter of Imran, Khadija, daughter of Khuwailid, Fatima, the daughter of Muhammad, and Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And this comes from Tirmidhi. Now, this hadith, however, refers to four women who acquired perfection in faith and character by virtue of their devotion, patience, their toil, and their morality. Their lives radiated with piety, trust, patience, and gratitude. Their lives serve as beacons of guidance for all believers, especially in times of hardship, difficulty, and struggle. So the first person that we're going to be looking at is Maryam alayhi salam, the daughter of Imran alayhi salam. Now, Maryam alayhi salam spent her young days in total seclusion within the precincts of Baitul Muqaddas, and she devoted her life to prayer and worship of the Almighty. Although unmarried, she miraculously gave birth to Isa alayhi salam. And she was, of course, accused of adultery and chastised for bringing disrespect or disrepute to the family name. Now, who would have believed her innocence when she came to her people as a spinster with a child in her hand? And how could she exonerate herself from the charge of adultery? Just how could an unmarried woman convince her people that this was no ordinary birth, nor was this an ordinary child? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, and he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, so she came to her people carrying the child with her, and they said, O Maryam, you have indeed done an amazing thing. She pointed to him, and they exclaimed, how can we talk to one who is a child in the cradle? But he, the child, said, I am the servant of Allah, who has given me the book and made me a prophet. And this is in Surah Maryam, chapter 19, verses 27 to 30. And this breast-suckling child spoke and vindicated his mother from the accusation of infidelity. When she gave her life to Allah, Allah gave her a child that protected her integrity even while he was in the cradle. So she was such a great person, and the reason for her being such a great person is that she had given her life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then obviously Allah gave her this child. And like, you know, I think we're also judgmental. We would obviously, the minute somebody comes, they comes with a child knowing that the woman is not married, we would all, we all are the same. I think unfortunately we're all the same. But, you know, immediately she was accused of adultery, and she was an unmarried woman. How can an unmarried woman have a baby? But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved her, and her child saved her when he himself spoke to the people of that time. Anyway, that was one of the great women of Islam. Then we get the next one, who was Khadija, the daughter of Khuwailid. Khadija radiallahu anhu was the wife of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was extremely wise. She was very intelligent. She was a very gentle and an influential person called Tahira. And Tahira means chaste and pure, even in the era of ignorance. So she was, you know, although it was a time of Jahiliyyah, it was a time of ignorance, she was very intelligent. She was very wise. And she was exceptionally wealthy and a prosperous businesswoman. And she married Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the age of 40, while he was 25. And these days, if an elder woman wants to get married to a younger man, we all kick up, you know, such a fuss, and we wouldn't allow that to happen. But, you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't look at her age. He looked at what she was. She provided the moral, financial, and emotional support for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was blessed with Nabuwat. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first saw Jibreel alayhi salam in the cave of Hira, he was terrified and he feared for his life. And what did he do? He ran down the mountain trembling and crying. And who did he run to? His wife, Bibi Khadija radiallahu anhu. And what did I ask her to do? Cover me up. Cover me up. He asked her to do that for him. And it was Khadija radiallahu anhu who consoled him. She was his pillar of support. She believed in him when everyone else doubted him. She served as his refuge. She consoled him. She supported him and she cared for him when he was alone, when he was confused and when he was terrified. She stood by him when everyone else shunned him. Khadija radiallahu anhu rallied to the call of Islam. She gave a home to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was his first confidant and his tower of strength. And her home was known as the cradle of Islam. Alhamdulillah. Then the third woman that we're talking about today is his daughter, Fatima radiallahu anhu, the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, Rasulullah sallam would often say, "Fatima is my flesh. He who angers her, angers me." This comes from Bukhari and Muslim. Fatima radiallahu anhu was was the youngest child of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the only child who survived him. Hers was a life of extreme poverty and struggle. She constantly saw her father being mistreated, insulted, and humiliated by the disbelievers. In fact, one day when she was barely 10 years old, she accompanied her father to the Masjid al-Haram, and he stood in the place known as al-Hijr, facing the Kaaba, and he started his prayers. Fatima radiallahu anhu stood at his side, and a group of Quraysh gathered around him. They, of course, included Abu Jahl ibn Hisham, the Prophet's uncle, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, and Shayba and Utba. Abu Jahl, of course, was the ringleader, and he asked, all of them, which of you can bring the entrails of a slaughtered animal and throw it upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayt, one of the vilest of the lot, volunteered and he hurried off. he returned with the obnoxious filth and he threw it on the shoulders of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was still prostrating. Now, imagining the feelings of Fatima radiallahu anha as she saw her father being humiliated in this, terrible way. She went up to her father and she removed the filth, and then she stood firmly and very angrily before the group of the Quraysh thugs and she lashed out against them. Now, such scenes of vicious opposition and harassments against the father and the early Muslims were witnessed by the young Fatima radiallahu anha almost every day. She saw all of this happening to her dad all the time. She did not meekly stand aside, but she joined in struggle in defense of her father and his noble mission. And it is said that she was the youngest person to accept Islam. I think she was around about 5 years old when she accepted Islam. And then the other lady, and that is the fourth lady, is Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. And for those who have faith, Allah set forth a parable in the story of Fir'aun's wife when she prayed, "O my sustainer, build for me a mansion in paradise by you and save me from Fir'aun and his doings and save me from all evil doing people." Now, when the magicians fell into sajda and they declared their faith to Allah and accepted Musa alayhi salam as the Nabi of Allah, the wife of Fir'aun also declared her faith. Fir'aun began punishing her by pegging her to the ground and exposing her to the midday sun. Whenever he turned away from her, the angels would give her shade with their wings. He then gave her a choice, either a retract from your belief or be prepared to be crushed by a huge boulder. She chose to be crushed. As she was placed onto the ground, she raised her sight towards the sky. She saw her place in Jannah and she prayed, "O my sustainer, build for me a mansion in paradise by you and save me from Fir'aun and his doings and save me from all evil-doing people." As she said this, her ruh left her body and the boulder then crushed her lifeless body. Now, these four women changed the course of human history through their perseverance, their faith, and their courage. Maryam alayhi salam's life was characterized by piety, chastity, and faith. Khadija radiallahu anha neither succumbed to the trappings of wealth nor to power and fame. Fatima radiallahu anha made sabr in the face of unending hardships and was crowned the leader of all women in Jannah, whilst the wife of Fir'aun chose faith over royalty. And these were four women, distinguished by sabr, who found the true friendship of Allah through their unfailing steadfastness in the face of grinding sacrifices. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to emulate the beautiful conduct of these icons of virtue, humility and courage. Ameen. Ameen. Well, these are such, you know, I don't know why sometimes we go around looking for other role models when we have such perfect role models in Islam, and we should actually try and educate ourselves, really do a lot of research. There's so much of research. You know, these are just four women that I mentioned today, and these are four women that we are very familiar with. But if you really look, there are, and you really do some research, there are so many women that we don't even know about, but they are such great women in Islam and such great role models for us to follow. So inshallah, you know, having said that, you know, this is Women's Week. I know this is not the only time that we should be looking at these, but this is a time we can start. So try doing just a little bit of research and finding out more about these great women of Islam, inshallah. Well, we're going to take a break. When we return, inshallah, we'll be talking to Sister Nazia Saliji Sister Shaida Kazi, and of course we have Sister Samira with us as well in the studio. Stay with us, we'll be back in a few moments. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zenith, and joining me this morning is Sister Nazia Saleji, the outreach program coordinator, Sister Shaida Kaze, the director, and we also have Sister Samira, who's a social worker in the outpatient department of the Nishtara Alcohol and Drug Rehabilitation Center here in Indonesia. Alhamdulillah, having all three of them here with me in the studio. And we're going to be talking a little about drugs, you know, just the definition of the word drugs. And then we're going to talk about the different categories of drugs. Now, there's also, at least the 31st of August is Overdose Day. And we have the ladies in the studio going to tell us more about that and what's happening and what it actually means. And we also want to talk about overdose of prescription and the and over-the-counter medication, inshallah. So a lot to talk about. A reminder to our listeners, if perhaps you have any questions or concerns, the lines are open. You can call in on the number 011-854-1548. You can also send an SMS or a WhatsApp. Sorry, on the number 082-84-92-786, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum once again. Jazakallah khair for joining me in the studio to all three ladies here today. Sister Shaida, of course Sister Nazia, and also Samira, who is going to be sitting in and watching the program with us today. And just hopefully we'll have her with us soon, inshallah. Okay, so it's drug talk, so give us your take and let's drug educate with the Nishtara Rehab Center, inshallah. Okay, assalamu alaikum. Sister Nazia, I think we'll start off with you today. Just for the benefit of our listeners and myself, of course, and I know we do it all the time, but, you know, we tend to forget and reminders are good. So what is the definition of the word drugs?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to the Radio Islam listeners. It's a pleasure to be in your space again. Yes, Sister Zinat, we'll be recapping today on drugs. I know we spoke about the categories of drugs last year, but to refresh the listeners' memories, a drug is any substance that alters the chemical balance of your brain and directly impacts your behavior and your emotional state. The dictionary definition of the word drug is a habit-forming medicinal or illicit substance, especially a narcotic. It is also a chemical substance prepared and sold as pharmaceutical items, either by prescription or over the counter. Which brings us to our point of today, which is International Overdose Day, which is taking place on the 31st of August, and we will be further elaborating on the harms of overdosing, of using medication not according to the contraindications, and we will be giving safety precautions as well.
Okay. So, you know, before we talk about the overdose and prescription medications, and of course over the counter medications, of course, explain to us the different categories of drugs.
Okay, Sister Zinat, a drug is not only an illegal substance, because I know when we talk about drugs, people think about cocaine and ecstasy. What we fail to realize is that it is actually the children or the grandchildren of legal substances. So what has happened is there are three different categories of drugs, legal and illegal. Those are stimulants. These are drugs that can make a person feel hyperactive, over-enthusiastic, excited. It accelerates the heart rate and blood pressure, and it generally allows a person to react much faster than what they normally would. Now, with stimulants, examples of stimulants are not your ecstasy and your cocaine. It's not limited to that. It is also your things like coffee, things that contain caffeine. We've got a lot of medications that allow people to, they called energy boosters. So that would be a stimulant. Category 2 would be a depressant. These are drugs that suppress the immune system. These are drugs that they basically slow you down. These are drugs that would cause a person to feel calm, these are tranquilizers, sleeping tablets. These are drugs like dacha, and alcohol is also a depressant. Okay? And then the third category would be the hallucinogens. These are drugs which cause people to hallucinate or see things that are not there. And this is very dangerous. And this is a side effect of a lot of medications. So a lot of medication will say, if you take out the leaflet inside, it will say, do not operate heavy machinery after consuming these. You know, it will affect concentration. It may lead to drowsiness and possible hallucinations.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and of course this is, like you said, also found in your medication, your everyday medication that you have. And it's so important once again for us to remember, I think we stress this all the time, is even when you are prescribed medication, to check out, read up those leaflets, and if your doctor doesn't tell you or your pharmacist don't tell you, it's your duty to read it up and find out what the side effects are of these medications, because almost every medication has a side effect.
Okay, absolutely, Sister Zinat.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we said that 31st August is overdose day. Tell us more about that, Sister Saida.
Assalamu alaikum to all the listeners in Radio Islam Land, and thank you very much, Sister Zinat, for having us with you once again. Yes, Overdose Day. It's actually, Overdose Day is a global event that's held annually on 31st August. Maybe a little bit late in the day, but we've actually just become aware of this day that is commemorated, and I think this year, well, actually every year international organizations globally come together in a shared effort to reduce the tragedy of overdose. This year, our Senka National Office, of which Nishtara is an affiliate, is partnering with International Overdose Day in Australia to raise awareness of overdose. The objectives of the campaign is to increase awareness of overdosing, reduce the stigma of drug-related deaths, and to acknowledge the grief felt by families and friends, remembering those who have met with death or with permanent injury as a result of drug overdose. I think Nazia just mentioned earlier to you that it's we're saying drug overdose, but drugs, of course, are not related only to your highly toxic ones as the cannabis and your crack and cocaine and so forth, but even your everyday medicinal drugs are also drugs as well.
So how bad would you say the overuse of prescription and over-the-counter medications really are?
Okay, maybe just some stats. We're not going to go into details of this. Is that just according to the United Nations World Drug Report, and this was of 2014, so this could have changed in the last few years. It is reported that in South Africa, 1 in 14 people are regular users abusing narcotics of some kind. And this, let us remind you once again, includes our medicinal drugs as well. Okay. In line with our Senka stats, we can report a 35% increase in admissions over the past 12 years to our 29 treatment centers across the country. This reflects the increasing of substance abuse on a national level in South Africa. So in number terms, admissions in the period 2005-2006 have increased from 8,733 to service users to 13,376 in 2016, the period 2016-17. So that tells you that it is increasing and it's becoming very scary day by day.
Indeed,
because
scary.
Even in terms of the ages, most of the service users we found fall in the category from 18 to 35. And then we're getting lower as well, from 4 to 17.
My goodness.
It's getting as low as that.
Okay, now, you know, these stats that you've just shared with us, it's actually, like we said, very, very scary. But, you know, what I also realize is that so many people are so aware of the effects of drugs. Why are they then still, taking drugs and doing things like this?
Sister Zinat, if I can, I think that when it comes to using drugs, or let's even call it medication, as is the focus, I think that when we have the flu, for example, we have a tendency of self-medicating. So you'll have the flu, and part of the symptoms of having a flu will be a headache, and it will be a fever, and it will be body pains. People feel the need to self-medicate and prescribe to each other. So you will be taking what we call benzodiazepines. They are very, very, like we've got our Benylin for flu, we've got our Adderalls, and we've got all of that. People will take a dangerous mix of everything all together and not realizing you are overdosing yourself, because there's a common ingredient in all of these medications that you are taking, which is the benzodiazepine. So you will increase the limit or the amount of benzodiazepine in your bloodstream, and this will negatively affect you. Also, Sister Zinat, the manner in which people take your medications. You're not supposed to take it with Coke or with tea. You're supposed to take it with water. So as to why people are doing it, it's because we feel, you know, we don't need the doctor. The flu is a common thing, you know, but you don't realize you could be allergic to something. You could be overdosing on a particular chemical that is a common ingredient in all the tablets you're taking. And you also could suffer and go into anaphylactic shock, which comes about as a result of being allergic to something. You know, when a doctor asks, are you allergic to penicillin? It's very important for you to know what it is you are allergic to and what you aren't, because if you take something like this and you go into anaphylactic shock, it could lead to death.
Yeah, now, and unfortunately, I think another thing is that people also tend to be taking each other's medication, you know, and people have this habit of, you know, if somebody's not feeling too okay, you know, I've been using this, why don't you try it? And, you know, without thinking, without realizing, we end up taking each other's medication, which, like you say, maybe won't agree with you, may have, they may go into some kind of a, what do you call it?
Anaphylactic.
Yeah, there's so many risks that are, you know, that we should be thinking about. And it's so important rather to have a prescription medication and know what you are taking. And if a doctor has given you some kind of medication, just stick to that kind. Don't still add others, because like you said, that common ingredient, you might be just overdosing yourself with that.
Yes.
Now, we're talking about overdose. Perhaps, you know, just for the benefit of myself first, of course, and our listeners, what exactly is meant by an overdose?
Okay. Many people will assume that overdose is only relevant to illegal drugs taken like heroin or cocaine. But people can overdose using prescription or over-the-counter medication as well. The term overdose basically describes the ingestion or application of a drug or other substance in quantities greater than recommended or generally practiced. An overdose may result in a toxic state or death. Thousands of people die each year from drug-related causes. This is not well reported, I think, more due to the stigma associated with drug-related deaths. But also one needs to look at the suicides that are occurring. Somewhere along the line, there must have been it's drug-induced, or even when people driving under in a drunken state. So when intoxicated, motor vehicle accidents are resulting also in deaths, and that also may be an overdose of alcohol or any drug that has been taken to in its extreme. A drug overdose is extremely dangerous and can lead to death or serious physical disabilities. Right? If we talk of over-the-counter medications, these are easily obtained from a pharmacy or even a supermarket without a prescription today. And I think in our community especially, it's very easy to get over-the-counter medications. These medications, although may be classified in a lower degree in terms of the Medicine Control Act, and we're looking at our Schedule 0, 1 or 2, but we also need to know that while they may be designed for short-term treatment, maybe of headaches, allergies, or the coughs and colds and flu, long-term use of that can lead to an overdose, or too much of it can lead to an overdose as well.
You know what, I also, I don't know how strict the laws are, you know, with regards medication, prescription medication. Do you think that there is some, what do you call it, you know, people are not very strict with regards to the laws. Pharmacists sometimes would actually, I'm not sure, I would just like you to comment on that for me. They're not strict enough where prescription medication is concerned.
I think, Sister Zinat, when it comes to prescription medication, every single medication has got a schedule. It's Schedule 0, Schedule 1, Schedule 2, Schedule 3. This can be found on the left-hand side of every box of medication. It's a little box in the corner, and it will indicate what kind of a schedule. Now, what is a schedule? That will tell you exactly how addictive a substance is and how it needs to be controlled. So certain medications you find over the counter, you can go, you can get it, and nobody monitors how much of it you buy, and then schedule, that will be your Schedule 0, 1, and 2. From Schedule 3 upwards, it is kept behind the counter and must be given at the pharmacist's discretion and with a doctor's prescription. Everything from Schedule 4 up must be given strictly with a doctor's prescription, or only if a doctor's prescription is provided. It is not supposed to be given because it is highly addictive. And I think that when it comes to Schedule 3 and above, there is a lot of leniency, because people will tell you that I can go to my local pharmacist and I can get whichever antidepressant I want, or whichever diet pill I want, or whichever painkillers I want, and it's not a problem. I don't need a prescription. I think it is common practice.
It is. And I think, you know, pharmacists should be aware of this and try and be a little more strict. I know it may, you may lose a customer, but isn't a life, you know, worth or better than losing a customer, or, you know, losing a life better than that extra few pennies or cents that,
yes,
you will be getting?
Yeah. Recently they introduced the Codeine Control Act, which actually have, pharmacists have a register where they actually keep the name, the surname, the ID number, and the address of the person who's purchasing medication that contains a high content of codeine. So they're able to track the date at which it was bought, which pharmacy it was bought at, and how many times it's been purchased. So then it's a central database where they can all see that, you know, this person cannot go from one pharmacy to the next, and basically they call it pharmacy hopping, where they're able to buy, you know, large quantities of these tablets. And yeah, it's called the Codeine Control Act.
And yeah, I think it's also important for us to understand how important it is not to run from one, you know, jump from one the pharmacy to the other just to get the medication, unless, of course, I think many a time people become so addicted to it or so
dependent
on it that they would try and things like that. But it's important for us.
Yeah, I think just to add to that also, NASA is right in terms of the Control Act in that. But what we find, and I think it's more in close-knit communities where everybody knows everybody and you're on a very friendly basis with your pharmacist, or it could be family or friends or whatever. So we sort of tend to lose control there, or we slack a bit down. But also it's the people that are abusing the pharmacies. While we may say that pharmacists are not controlling enough, what we don't have, and I think we've this was raised before as well, we have the controls in place, but whether it's being implemented is another thing. Because I can go to this pharmacy today and I go to another pharmacy in a couple of hours, and you are pharmacy hopping all the time. But how we need to find, and I think this may basically, maybe we need to talk to the pharmacists who need to address where they need to have some sort of control or communication between the pharmacies that need to control that also.
Mm. I think they may have it too, but we're not aware of that.
Yeah, but you know, even with all, I don't know if it is being implemented. I think in our country, basically, we know with all the laws that are, we have the finest of laws, but where the implementation, unfortunately, law enforcement is very slack as far as it goes. So we've always, if you look at Lanesha itself, it's like become a lawless place now. You can do what you want to and you just get away with about everything. But I think this is very, very important and very relevant, especially, like you said, if you want to save a life, it comes down to the bottom line is saving somebody's life at the end of the day.
Okay, we take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we continue talking about it. We'll be back in a few moments. Stay tuned.
Visit Sharma Spice on Nirvana Drive, Extension 13 in Lanesha for all your fresh, teened and tasty Indian spices at affordable prices. Snowflake cake flour with pan oil, creamy rice, BT rice, Lal Killa rice. Call us now on 011-852-2768.
In Malawi, over 160,000 people have low vision due to cataracts, and of these, more than 50,000 are blind as a result. access to life-changing surgery is often simply out of reach, both financially and physically. Help the Alimdad Foundation to restore eyesight to these vulnerable people. Sponsor an eye cataract operation in Malawi for 550 Rand. Donate online at alimdad.com or call 0861 786 243 for more information.
Knowledge. The distinction of humanity is fortified by the Lanesia Muslim Association, which educates more than 2,200 learners in primary deen, equipping the Muslim child to be saved from harmful spiritual, moral and social elements. Earn Thawabi Jariya by educating a learner at 250 Rand per month or part thereof. 5 in a day in the Elimington will keep Islam alive in our children.
Once again, Maulana Timol will be taking a trip abroad for Qurbani. Many people in the villages live well below the poverty line and only eat meat on the days of Eid al-Adha. Support this cause at 1,120 Rand for 7 shares or 160 Rand per share. Contact Maulana Timol, Maulana Sajjad or Maulana Hamad on 011-852-6324 or 8584 or 8538 or 072-299-9268. All slaughtering will be supervised by a team of foreign and local ulama. Visit www.operationkurbani.org.za.
From Cape to Cairo and then the World Wide Web, you can catch us everywhere you know and anywhere you go. And now it's even easier. Radio Islam International is in DSTV's audio bouquet on channel 826. You don't need to be near us to hear us. Radio Islam International, the world is our community.
Welcome to Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Drug Talk. Give us your take and let's drug educate with Nishtara Rehab Center here in Indonesia. Okay, now we're talking about overdose of prescription and over-the-counter medication. You know, we spoke about drug overuse of prescription medication and over-the-counter medicines as well. We now hopefully understand what overdose really means. We know where we can get all this medication. But let's look at the dangers of over-the-counter medication and prescription abuse. And how, you know, look at the safe way. What is the safe way?
Sister Zenit, long-term use of over-the-counter and prescription abuse, it can lead to adverse, unpleasant side effects and have serious side effects. Now, these can range from kidney damage to people have this thing where they say it fixes one thing and it breaks another thing. The information is available in the leaflet that comes with the medication or on the back of the packet of the medication. It tells you, warning, side effects are kidney damage and etc., etc. It lists everything. Even the simplest of medications that we take for granted have adverse side effects, especially when it comes to long-term use. And people react differently to all medications, as we said before.
And what would then be the safe way? What should we be doing?
Okay, we should be using medication as it is instructed. If they say take medication before or after meals, you need to take it after meals. People have also this bad habit of taking tablets on an empty stomach, and it is extremely dangerous. When it comes to the different medications, they list how it should be taken. Even the doctors will put it on the packet that he gives you the tablet in. One tablet twice a day after meals. Over-the-counter sleeping medication, they contain antihistamines, and if too much is taken, a reverse effect can take place, and that can lead to seizures or fits and heart problems. And then we have laxatives. These also can cause dehydration, and people can actually, by not having enough fluids in your body, you lose too much, and you could actually pass out.
think maybe just to summarize quickly, some tips that people can be aware of is basically first you need to keep your record of all the medications that you use, including your over-the-counter and your prescription medication, your vitamins, your herbal supplements, and make sure that your doctor or your pharmacist is aware so they can identify how each medication interacts with the other one.
Yeah, I think this is so important. I just want to come in here. You know, we take so many of these vitamins and whatever else, you know, supplements that we take. But like you said, sometimes you can even overdose with those.
Or it can react to something else that you are taking. It can react and have a negative.
And we tend to not mention these when we don't think of this as medication.
Yes.
We always, if you go to a doctor and they ask you what tablets are you on or what, just tell me all the medication that you are
yeah,
on.
Yeah, then we just
you
list the one
that's
not your herbal or your vitamins that you are taking. We tend to forget that, yeah. The other thing is that you need to make a habit, as Nadia mentioned earlier, about reading the labels and the warning signs. That is so extremely important. You need to make a habit of reading the labels and the warnings and make sure that you understand what the possible side effects could be. And also what the contents of the medication are. Then you also need to use a measuring tool to provide, to make sure that you are taking the correct dosage. Some of us just, I know people just tend to open up, pour it in a lid, or just
coffee
drink
mixture.
It like that.
Having
coffee
people
mixture,
do that
I know.
Very often.
Drink that just like that. Open up, sit at your desk, and if you have a coffee, just take a dose every now and then. The other important thing is that you don't crush or split medication unless it's directed by your doctor. You also need to be very careful to mix and match different over-the-counter medications. That is also very, like you said, somebody else gives you something and you take in something else and you say, okay, let me take one of that and maybe it will make me feel better. But it could have a very serious effect on you. And as I mentioned earlier, that we need to not take it for longer than it's prescribed. Obviously, if you're taking something for longer than 10 days and it's still not helping, then there is something seriously wrong, or it could be something else that needs the attention of a medical doctor. So you need to go back and see your doctor rather if the symptoms persist than otherwise still trying something else or carrying on with what you've been doing. Important, you mentioned it earlier, is don't use anybody else's prescribed medication. That is very critical. And also that we need to destroy or get rid of unused and expired medication in a responsible manner. Don't just throw it into the bin, or you never know who gets hold of it, or into the waste paper basket or something like that. Ensure that all their medications are locked away and controlled by you in a responsible manner, and you need to keep all medications safely away from the kids.
Just very briefly, can you perhaps just share with us a few signs or some few symptoms of overdosage?
Okay, signs and symptoms, they are physical and psychological signs of a drug overdose, and it varies depending on the type of the drug taken and whether the drug was taken in combination with other substances. So the first thing would be dilated pupils, unsteady walking, chest pain, severe difficulty breathing, shallow breathing or complete cessation of breath, that is if someone stops breathing or has difficulty breathing, gurgling sounds that indicate the person's airway is blocked, blue lips or fingers, nausea or vomiting, abnormally high body temperature, violent or aggressive behavior, disorientation or confusion, paranoia or agitation, convulsions or tremors or seizures, or as we say, fits, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness. So anything from chest, you know, you watch the person's breathing, you check their airway to see if they're gargling or they're having difficulty taking in oxygen. The other thing is blue lips or fingers will indicate that there's not enough oxygen in the person's body. So that will definitely be a warning sign.
Okay, we've almost run out of time, but please tell us more about the Nishtara Rehab Center and how it can assist, or what it has planned also.
Okay, so Susina, just quickly to share, there's so much on this overdose and on prescription medication and over-the-counter meds that we can discuss and we can interact with the community. So what we're doing is we're hosting an event in line with Women's Month, and we're hosting an event on the 31st of August. It's going to, our theme is National Overdose Day, where we want the community to benefit from this information. There's loads and loads of information, something and simple that we might not even be aware of, but that is happening and that we can stop or we can participate in making sure that we lead a healthier lifestyle. We encouraging women especially, but it is, or we focusing on women, but it's open to everybody, to please attend this. Watch the media for more information on it, but also if you want to reserve a seat, there's no charge for this workshop. If you want to reserve a seat, please call our center on 011-854-5988 or 011-852-2176, and please reserve your seat because there are limited seats available. But I think this will be a very beneficial and educational workshop for every person in this community to attend.
Okay. So have you decided which day it's going to be?
It will be on the 31st. It's a Thursday morning.
Okay.
And just the venue needs to be confirmed, but we will share that information via media and through other forums as well.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for another wonderful and informative program. Jazakallah khair to both of you for coming in to do this with us. And, of course, for Sister Samira for joining us. We hope to have you with us on the show soon. Inshallah.
And Jazakallah to you and Assalamu alaikum to all your listeners.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And until next time, from me, Sister Zeenat.
I hope you're going to make it this time.
Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.